Introduction to Cardiovascular Anatomy and Physiology. This lecture examines how the cardiovascular system facilitates adaptation, self-regulation, and health through a dynamic interplay among its anatomical structures, neural inputs, and physiological signals. We begin by examining the structural components of the cardiovascular system, including arteries, veins, capillaries, and arteriovenous anastomosis. We then describe how peripheral blood flow is monitored through temperature, blood volume pulse, BVP, and pulse wave velocity, PWV, and how blood pressure and cardiac function shape overall hemodynamic performance. From there, we follow the electrical and mechanical rhythm of the heart through the cardiac cycle, its intrinsic pacemakers, and conduction pathways. We investigate how autonomic, hormonal, and ionic signals regulate cardiovascular activity, and how HRV biofeedback harnesses these systems to promote therapeutic change. The essay then turns to heart rate variability, HRV, as a critical biomarker of autonomic balance, resilience, and disease risk, elaborating on its primary sources, its clinical utility, and its association with adaptability and health outcomes. Ultimately, we investigate how the brain and heart interact in a continuous feedback loop, thereby establishing the physiological foundation for emotional regulation and interoception. Each section contributes to a unified understanding of cardiovascular monitoring in psychophysiological assessment and biofeedback training. Cardiovascular anatomy. The cardiovascular system is an integrated network comprising the heart, blood vessels, and the blood that circulates through them, functioning together to deliver oxygen, nutrients, and hormones while removing carbon dioxide and metabolic waste products. At its core, the heart, a muscular four-chambered organ, acts as the system's pump, propelling blood through the systemic and pulmonary circuits. Blood vessels include arteries, arterioles, capillaries, venules, and veins, each specialized for specific roles in regulating blood pressure, facilitating nutrient exchange, and facilitating the return of blood flow. The systemic circuit carries oxygenated blood from the left ventricle through arteries to the body and returns deoxygenated blood via veins to the right atrium. The pulmonary circuit transports blood from the right ventricle to the lungs for gas exchange and then returns it to the left atrium. Regulation of this closed-loop system is dynamic and governed by neural, endocrine, and autoregulatory feedback mechanisms. Importantly, the cardiovascular system operates non-linearly, adaptively, flexibly, and in a complex manner to accommodate internal and environmental demands. The heart's rhythmic activity is not rigid like a metronome. Rather, it exhibits variability reflective of its interactions with the brain and autonomic nervous system. This variability, indexed as heart rate variability, HRV, signifies the system's efficiency in resource mobilization and regulation. High HRV reflects greater flexibility and resilience, while reduced HRV indicates vulnerability to physical and psychological stressors. Behavioral interventions, particularly HRV biofeedback, target these regulatory mechanisms to promote homeostasis, enhance performance optimization, and prevent disease. Thus, understanding cardiovascular anatomy is foundational for interpreting physiological responses in both clinical and biofeedback contexts. Arteries. Arteries are muscular, elastic blood vessels that transport blood away from the heart and distribute it to tissues throughout the body under high pressure. Structurally, they consist of three concentric layers or tunics: the tunica interna, endothelium; tunica media, smooth muscle and elastic fibers; and tunica externa, connective tissue. Elastic arteries, such as the aorta and pulmonary trunk, are the largest, expanding with ventricular systole and recoiling during diastole to maintain pressure and flow. Muscular arteries, including the brachial and femoral arteries, regulate regional blood distribution and control flow to arterioles, the primary resistance vessels. Arterioles have diameters ranging from 15 to 300 micrometers and regulate blood pressure and tissue perfusion through controlled vasoconstriction and vasodilation, driven by neural input from sympathetic nerves and chemical mediators such as nitric oxide and hydrogen ions. The degree of arteriole constriction determines peripheral vascular resistance, a major determinant of blood pressure. Arteriolar control mechanisms vary between organs, allowing blood to be shunted to areas of greatest metabolic need. Local metabolic signals, systemic hormones, and neural activity finely tune this system. These regulatory mechanisms also underlie thermoregulatory responses, such as hand warming and cooling, which are central to biofeedback training. For instance, activation of beta-3 adrenergic receptors and nitric oxide release can dilate digital arterioles, increasing blood flow to the extremities. Understanding arterial structure and function enables clinicians to interpret peripheral signals, such as temperature and blood volume pulse, particularly in psychophysiological assessments where circulatory reactivity reflects autonomic nervous system status and stress response patterns. 3 measures of peripheral blood flow. 3 principal measures of peripheral blood flow, temperature, blood volume pulse, BVP, and pulse wave velocity, PWV, offer distinct but complementary insights into cardiovascular function and autonomic regulation. Skin temperature is a slow-responding, tonic indicator that reflects sustained changes in peripheral vasodilation or vasoconstriction, often associated with sympathetic nervous system activity. In contrast, BVP is a phasic measure that captures rapid, beat-to-beat changes in blood volume due to cardiac cycles and is highly sensitive to short-term physiological and emotional states. PWV measures the speed at which the pressure wave from systolic ejection travels through arteries, providing an index of arterial stiffness and indirectly reflecting blood pressure. These 3 metrics differ in latency, resolution, and the types of physiological phenomena they reveal. For example, temperature may lag behind actual vasoconstriction due to sensor inertia and tissue thermal mass, while BVP can detect changes in milliseconds, making it ideal for real-time feedback. PWV is not commonly used in day-to-day biofeedback, but is valuable in advanced cardiovascular assessment and research contexts due to its prognostic utility. When interpreted together, these measures provide a comprehensive picture of vascular dynamics, including tonic arousal, acute stress responses, and long-term cardiovascular health. Their applications range from stress management and chronic pain intervention to hypertension therapy and peak performance training. The integration of these signals allows practitioners to discern subtle physiological changes, monitor treatment effects, and train clients to develop greater autonomic flexibility and resilience. Temperature. Skin temperature serves as an indirect yet informative indicator of peripheral blood flow, particularly in distal body regions such as the hands and feet. This physiological signal is modulated by cutaneous arterioles, which constrict or dilate in response to sympathetic nervous system activity and local chemical mediators. Temperature biofeedback is grounded in the principle that thermal changes in the skin reflect vasomotor adjustments under autonomic control. Because it is a tonic measure, temperature changes develop slowly, typically over 20 to 30 seconds, following the onset of a stressor or the initiation of a relaxation technique. This delay is due to the cumulative nature of vasomotor changes and the time required for thermal equilibration and sensor detection. Factors such as ambient temperature, emotional state, breathing patterns, and cognitive effort can all influence peripheral temperature readings. For example, overbreathing may reduce carbon dioxide levels, subsequently decreasing nitric oxide availability, which can result in vasoconstriction and hand cooling. Temperature biofeedback has been widely used to treat disorders such as Raynaud's disease, chronic stress, migraine, and anxiety by teaching patients to increase blood flow to the extremities. One of the strengths of temperature as a feedback signal is its absolute unit measurement, degrees, which allows for easy visualization of progress. However, this also means that temperature is particularly vulnerable to psychophysiological noise, such as effortful trying, which can paradoxically inhibit warming. Clinicians often use temperature training to cultivate relaxed attention and passive volition, both of which support parasympathetic activation and systemic calming. Blood volume pulse. Blood volume pulse, BVP, measured via photoplethysmography, captures the rhythmic expansion and contraction of peripheral blood vessels that occur during the cardiac cycle. Each pulse produces a waveform characterized by distinct features: a systolic upstroke, dichrotic notch, and diastolic decay. The amplitude of this waveform reflects the volume of blood reaching the sensor site per beat and varies with vascular tone and autonomic nervous system input. BVP is a highly responsive and temporally precise measure, typically registering changes in 0.5 to 2 seconds, making it ideal for capturing rapid shifts in physiological state. Sympathetic arousal causes vasoconstriction, thereby reducing waveform amplitude, whereas parasympathetic dominance enhances vasodilation and increases waveform amplitude. The waveform's morphology may also reflect vascular health. For instance, the absence of a dicrotic notch can indicate reduced arterial elasticity, a condition linked to hypertension and cardiovascular aging. BVP is especially useful in psychophysiological stress profiling, as it captures momentary reactions to emotional, cognitive, and sensory stimuli. It is often used when skin temperature is uninformative, such as in individuals with cold extremities, because BVP offers high-resolution feedback about blood flow. In clinical biofeedback, BVP helps clients learn to recognize and modulate their responses to stress, enhancing both autonomic awareness and self-regulation. This measure also serves as a powerful index of interoception and emotional reactivity, with applications in treating anxiety, trauma, and somatic disorders. For effective use, clinicians must consider placement accuracy, sensor contact quality, and ambient lighting, as photoplethysmography is sensitive to these factors. Pulse wave velocity. Pulse wave velocity, PWV, measures the speed at which the pressure wave produced by left ventricular systole travels through the arterial system. The elasticity of the arterial walls influences this speed. Stiffer arteries transmit the wave more quickly, whereas more compliant arteries slow its propagation. PWV is typically assessed by placing pressure sensors at two sites on the same arterial path, such as the brachial and radial arteries, and calculating the transit time of the pulse between them. The resulting value serves as an indirect index of arterial stiffness and is strongly associated with age, hypertension, and atherosclerotic risk. Elevated PWV is predictive of cardiovascular morbidity and mortality and is therefore a valuable prognostic marker. In biofeedback and psychophysiological contexts, PWV reflects dynamic changes in vascular tone due to autonomic modulation. During stress testing or resonance frequency breathing, for example, PWV may decrease due to increased arterial compliance from parasympathetic activation. Although PWV is less frequently used in routine biofeedback, its inclusion in comprehensive cardiovascular assessments can deepen insights into vascular health and autonomic regulation. When combined with BVP and temperature, it enables clinicians to distinguish between central and peripheral hemodynamic changes, allowing them to tailor interventions more precisely. The measurement of PWV requires high-fidelity sensors and consistent adherence to a protocol to ensure reliability and validity, making it better suited for laboratory or research environments than for standard clinical sessions. Nonetheless, its value in detecting subclinical cardiovascular dysfunction and monitoring therapeutic progress is considerable. Veins. Veins are low-pressure blood vessels that return deoxygenated blood from peripheral tissues back to the heart. Unlike arteries, which are structurally adapted to withstand high intraluminal pressure, veins have thinner walls, larger luminal diameters, and a higher compliance, allowing them to accommodate a large volume of blood with minimal increase in pressure. The venous system is divided into superficial veins, closer to the skin surface, and deep veins, accompanying major arteries. Veins are composed of the same three tunics as arteries: tunica interna, media, and externa, but with a greater dominance of connective tissue and less smooth muscle and elastic fiber content. The tunica media is thinner, reflecting its reduced role in regulating vascular resistance. Veins, particularly in the limbs, contain unidirectional valves formed by folds of the endothelium that prevent blood flow in the opposite direction. These valves are critical for maintaining venous return in upright postures and during muscle contractions that squeeze the veins, propelling blood back toward the heart. Small veins, known as venules, collect blood from capillaries and initiate the return flow to larger veins. Post-capillary venules are also sites of immune surveillance and nutrient exchange due to their permeable endothelium. Systemic veins and venules store approximately 64% of the body's total blood volume at rest, making the venous system the body's principal blood reservoir. During sympathetic activation, such as exercise or orthostatic stress. Venoconstriction mobilizes this reserve volume to maintain cardiac output. This dynamic capacity to store and release blood as needed highlights the functional importance of veins in cardiovascular homeostasis. It justifies their inclusion in assessments of autonomic regulation during biofeedback training. Capillaries. Capillaries are the smallest and most numerous blood vessels, with diameters ranging from 5 to 10 micrometers, which are just large enough to allow red blood cells to pass through in a single file. They form extensive, branching networks that permeate nearly all tissues, particularly those with high metabolic demand, such as the brain, lungs, liver, kidneys, and muscles. The primary function of capillaries is to facilitate the bidirectional exchange of gases, oxygen and carbon dioxide, nutrients, waste products, and signaling molecules between the blood and interstitial fluid. Structurally, capillary walls consist of a single layer of endothelial cells, supported by a thin basement membrane, which minimizes the diffusion distance and maximizes exchange efficiency. There are three main types of capillaries: continuous, which have uninterrupted endothelium and are found in muscle and brain tissue; fenestrated, which have pores that increase permeability and are present in endocrine glands and the kidneys; and sinusoidal, which are highly permeable and occur in the liver, spleen, and bone marrow. Capillary beds are regulated at their arteriolar end by pre-capillary sphincters, rings of smooth muscle that constrict or dilate to control blood flow into downstream vessels based on tissue demand. Capillary exchange mechanisms include diffusion, transcytosis, bulk flow, infiltration, and hydrostatic and osmotic pressure gradients influence these. Because they lack smooth muscle, capillaries cannot regulate their diameter, and changes in perfusion depend on the tone of upstream arterioles. In psychophysiological assessment and biofeedback, the ultimate goal of techniques that modulate vascular tone, such as temperature training or resonance frequency breathing, is to enhance capillary perfusion and metabolic efficiency, reinforcing their relevance in health and disease. Arteriovenous anastomosis, AVAs. Arteriovenous anastomosis, AVAs, are direct connections between arterioles and venules that bypass capillary networks. These specialized vascular structures are found in specific body regions such as the palms, soles, ears, and nail beds, areas involved in thermoregulation. AVAs serve a unique function. They can rapidly shunt blood to or away from the skin surface, enabling quick adjustments and heat loss without the need for metabolic exchange. Structurally, AVAs contain the same three tunics as other vessels, with a robust tunica media rich in smooth muscle that facilitates rapid diameter adjustments. Unlike capillaries, which permit exchange passively, AVAs are actively controlled through autonomic innervation, particularly by sympathetic vasoconstrictor fibers. When ambient temperatures are cold, AVAs constrict to preserve core body temperature by minimizing blood flow to the skin. Conversely, in hot conditions, AVAs dilate to increase cutaneous blood flow and promote heat dissipation. This binary operation contributes to thermoregulatory efficiency and is implicated in conditions such as Raynaud's phenomenon, where AVA dysregulation leads to episodic digital ischemia. AVAs are also functionally important during physical exertion, enabling swift redistribution of blood flow without disrupting capillary exchange in metabolically active tissues. Their presence contributes to nonlinear cardiovascular dynamics, adding complexity to the interplay of peripheral resistance, blood volume distribution, and autonomic modulation. AVA function is indirectly assessed through measures like skin temperature and blood volume pulse amplitude. In biofeedback training, recognition of AVA activity informs the interpretation of peripheral thermoregulatory responses and support strategies that enhance autonomic flexibility and thermal comfort. Blood pressure. Blood pressure, BP, is the force exerted by circulating blood on the walls of blood vessels and is primarily assessed within the arterial system. It reflects the dynamic equilibrium between cardiac output, the volume of blood pumped by the heart per minute, and systemic vascular resistance, the total resistance to flow offered by the vasculature. Cardiac output is the product of heart rate and stroke volume, while resistance is influenced by blood viscosity, vessel length, and vessel radius. Blood pressure is typically recorded as systolic pressure, the peak pressure during left ventricular contraction, and diastolic pressure, the minimum pressure during ventricular relaxation. Normal values for healthy adults are approximately 120 millimeters of mercury systolic and 80 millimeters of mercury diastolic. Regulation of blood pressure, BP, is achieved through short-term neural mechanisms, such as baroreceptor reflexes that modulate heart rate and vessel tone, as well as longer-term hormonal influences, including the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system. BP variability during the day reflects circadian rhythms, physical activity, and emotional arousal, and sustained elevations contribute to cardiovascular morbidity. In biofeedback settings, reductions in blood pressure are often achieved by improving baroreflex sensitivity and enhancing parasympathetic tone, especially through paced breathing at the individual's resonance frequency. This form of intervention reduces sympathetic drive, slows heart rate, and stabilizes pressure fluctuations, promoting vascular health and reducing allostatic load. The interaction of pressure dynamics with other cardiovascular parameters, including heart rate variability, HRV, and pulse wave velocity, underscores the integrative nature of cardiovascular regulation and the value of multimodal assessment and psychophysiological interventions. The heart. The heart is a muscular, hollow organ about the size of a clenched fist, composed of four chambers, two atria, upper, and two ventricles, lower. It is enclosed within the pericardium and located slightly to the left of the midline in the thoracic cavity. The right atrium receives deoxygenated blood from systemic veins and passes it through the tricuspid valve to the right ventricle, which pumps it to the lungs via the pulmonary arteries. Oxygenated blood returns from the lungs to the left atrium and is directed through the mitral valve into the left ventricle. This most muscular chamber pumps it into systemic circulation via the aorta. The heart's walls are composed of three layers: the epicardium, outer; myocardium, muscular middle; and endocardium, inner. Myocardial cells contract in response to intrinsic electrical signals generated by pacemaker cells, and these contractions maintain the continuous circulation of blood through roughly 60,000 miles of vessels. In addition to being a pump, the heart functions as a neurohumoral integration center. Cardiac tissue contains its intrinsic nervous system and communicates bidirectionally with the central nervous system through autonomic afferents and efferents. This anatomical and functional integration supports adaptive responses to physical and psychological demands. The heart also responds to circulating catecholamines, altering its rate and contractility during sympathetic activation. The concept of a little brain in the heart captures its capacity to contribute to emotion regulation, interoception, and behavioral homeostasis. For these reasons, the heart is not just a mechanical organ, but a central node in the body's regulatory systems, with implications that extend into biofeedback, mental health, and psychophysiology. The cardiac cycle. The cardiac cycle is the sequence of electrical and mechanical events that occur during one heartbeat, encompassing systole, contraction, and diastole, relaxation. This cycle ensures that blood is continuously propelled through the pulmonary and systemic circuits. A complete cardiac cycle at rest lasts approximately 0.8 seconds and consists of atrial systole, ventricular systole, and complete cardiac diastole. Atrial systole begins as the sinoatrial node fires, causing the atria to contract and top off the ventricular volume. This is followed by ventricular systole, during which pressure increases sharply, closing the atrioventricular valves, mitral and tricuspid, and opening the semilunar valves, pulmonary and aortic, ejecting blood into the lungs and systemic circulation. Ventricular relaxation, or diastole, begins as pressure falls, allowing the semilunar valves to close and the ventricles to fill passively. Each mechanical event is initiated by an electrical depolarization that can be observed on the electrocardiogram. ECG, the P wave corresponds to atrial depolarization, the QRS complex to ventricular depolarization, and the T wave to ventricular repolarization. Hemodynamic variables such as blood pressure and stroke volume are tightly coupled to this cycle. Biofeedback training that targets cardiovascular modulation, especially through HRV and paced breathing, works by altering the autonomic inputs that influence the timing and force of the cardiac cycle. A greater understanding of this rhythm enables clinicians to teach clients how to synchronize physiological oscillations, enhance cardiovascular efficiency, and mitigate sympathetic dominance during stress. Pacemakers. Pacemakers are specialized cardiac cells with autonomic properties that initiate and regulate the heartbeat independently of external neural input. The sinoatrial SA node, located in the right atrium near the superior vena cava, is the heart's primary pacemaker, spontaneously depolarizing 60 to 100 times per minute in a healthy adult. This intrinsic rhythm establishes the sinus rhythm and determines the timing of the cardiac cycle. The atrioventricular, AV, node, situated at the junction of the atria and ventricles, serves as a secondary pacemaker with a slower spontaneous firing rate of 40 to 60 beats per minute. If the SA node fails, the AV node can maintain the heartbeat, though at a slower pace. Electrical impulses generated by these nodes travel through the atrioventricular bundle, also known as the bundle of His, then down the right and left bundle branches, and finally through the Purkinje fibers, which distribute the signal throughout the ventricular myocardium, ensuring coordinated contraction. These pacemaker cells possess unique ion channels that allow spontaneous depolarization due to slow sodium influx and calcium currents. The stability of pacemaker activity can be influenced by autonomic inputs. Sympathetic stimulation accelerates depolarization via beta-1 adrenergic receptors, increasing heart rate, while parasympathetic stimulation via muscarinic receptors slows depolarization, decreasing heart rate. Even after complete denervation during transplantation, these cells maintain rhythmic firing, illustrating the heart's intrinsic autonomy. In biofeedback, monitoring changes in pacemaker-driven heart rate dynamics, especially via ECG, is crucial for assessing cardiac rhythm and safety before HRV training. Understanding pacemaker physiology provides foundational knowledge for interpreting rate variability, arrhythmias, and responses to autonomic modulation. Cardiac conduction. The cardiac conduction system orchestrates the timing of atrial and ventricular contractions through a well-defined pathway of electrical activity. The process begins with the SA node, which generates an action potential that spreads rapidly across the atrial walls, causing atrial depolarization and contraction. The P wave on the ECG represents this activity. The impulse slows as it passes through the AV node, allowing time for the atria to empty before ventricular contraction begins. From the AV node, the impulse travels through the atrioventricular bundle into the interventricular septum, where it divides into right and left bundle branches. These branches conduct the impulse rapidly to the apex of the heart, and then through Purkinje fibers, which innervate the ventricular myocardium and trigger a coordinated contraction. Ventricular depolarization, recorded as the QRS complex, is followed by the T wave, representing ventricular repolarization. The entire cycle lasts about 0.8 seconds at rest. The coordinated conduction ensures efficient pumping, with atrial contraction preceding ventricular systole by approximately 0.1 seconds. Disruptions in this conduction pathway, such as AV block, bundle branch block, or ectopic foci, can impair cardiac output and are visible on ECG as rhythm irregularities or conduction delays. Biofeedback practitioners must understand these patterns to recognize potential contraindications to HRV training. For instance, prolonged QT intervals or arrhythmias may pose safety risks during resonance frequency breathing. Effective interpretation of ECG morphology in biofeedback sessions allows the clinician to monitor the heart's electrophysiological integrity and adapt training protocols to individual physiological states, ensuring safe and effective intervention. Considerations for HRV biofeedback training. When initiating heart rate variability, HRV, biofeedback training, clinicians must first assess the client's cardiovascular status to ensure safety and optimize outcomes. A foundational requirement is to evaluate the electrocardiogram, ECG, morphology for signs of arrhythmias, ischemia, or prolonged QT intervals, which could be exacerbated by paced breathing or autonomic modulation. Clients with complex cardiac conditions or those taking medications that affect cardiac conduction, e.g., beta blockers or calcium channel blockers, require close monitoring. Once cleared, Training typically begins with an assessment of the client's resonance frequency, the breathing rate at which respiratory sinus arrhythmia, RSA, and baroreflex gain are maximized, typically around 0.1 Hz, 6 breaths per minute. HRV biofeedback aims to increase the amplitude of low-frequency heart rate oscillations by aligning respiration and baroreflex activity in phase. During training, clients use visual or auditory displays to guide their breathing and observe real-time changes in HRV. Proper sensor placement, noise filtering, and artifact rejection are essential to ensuring accurate feedback. Clinicians also need to consider the client's posture, environmental conditions, and internal cognitive emotional states that may impact training responses. Breath pacing should be adjusted for comfort, and signs of hyperventilation, such as dizziness or tingling, must be addressed immediately. Over time, training shifts from external pacing to internal regulation, emphasizing the transfer of skills into daily life. Effective HRV biofeedback not only improves cardiac vagal tone, but also enhances emotion regulation, attention, and stress resilience. This process relies on the client's active engagement and the clinician's capacity to tailor interventions based on physiological and psychological feedback. Regulation by the Cardiovascular Center. The Cardiovascular Center, CVC, located in the medulla oblongata, serves as the central integrator of short-term regulation of blood pressure and heart rate. It receives afferent input from proprioceptors, which monitor joint and muscle movements, chemoreceptors, which detect changes in blood gases and pH, and baroreceptors, which sense the stretch of blood vessel walls. These inputs inform the CVC about the body's physiological status during rest and exertion. The center integrates this information with descending input from the cerebral cortex, hypothalamus, and limbic system to coordinate autonomic responses. The CVC comprises four functional subdivisions: the cardioacceleratory center, which increases heart rate via sympathetic outflow; the cardioinhibitory center, which decreases heart rate via parasympathetic vagus nerve activity; the vasoconstrictor center, which narrows blood vessels; and the vasodilator center, which facilitates vessel relaxation. These centers modulate stroke volume, systemic vascular resistance, and blood volume redistribution to ensure adequate perfusion and pressure homeostasis. The CVC can initiate rapid compensatory responses, such as increasing heart rate during orthostatic stress or redistributing blood flow during exercise. It also engages in slower, hormone-mediated responses through systems such as the adrenal medulla and the renin-angiotensin pathway. In HRV biofeedback, the primary aim is to increase parasympathetic, vagal, engagement through strategies that stimulate the cardioinhibitory and vasodilator centers. Enhancing baroreflex sensitivity and RSA reinforces the CVC's ability to fine-tune cardiovascular output in response to internal and external demands. Understanding how the CVC coordinates autonomic regulation is critical for designing interventions that improve physiological adaptability, emotional regulation, and overall cardiovascular efficiency. Autonomic control. Autonomic control of the heart and vasculature is governed by two branches of the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic and parasympathetic divisions. The sympathetic nervous system, SNS, originates in the thoracic and lumbar regions of the spinal cord. It exerts its influence through cardiac accelerator nerves that innervate the sinoatrial, SA, node, the atrioventricular, AV, node, and the ventricular myocardium. When activated, these nerves release norepinephrine and epinephrine, which bind to beta-1 adrenergic receptors on cardiac muscle cells. This binding increases the rate of spontaneous depolarization at the SA and AV nodes, accelerates heart rate, and enhances myocardial contractility. The parasympathetic nervous system, PNS, primarily mediated through the vagus nerve, cranial nerve 10, releases acetylcholine at the SA and AV nodes, where it binds to muscarinic, mainly M2, receptors. This slows the depolarization rate, reduces heart rate, and slightly decreases atrial contractility, though it has minimal effect on the ventricles due to sparse vagal innervation. Sympathetic effects typically have a slower onset but longer duration, while parasympathetic effects occur within seconds and dissipate quickly. The balance between these systems, referred to as sympathovagal balance, determines the baseline heart rate, HRV, and vascular tone. Stress, arousal, and physical exertion shift control towards sympathetic dominance, while relaxation, social connection, and resonance frequency breathing favor parasympathetic activation. In biofeedback, interventions aim to shift this balance by increasing vagal tone and reducing excessive sympathetic activation. Understanding the mechanisms of autonomic control is crucial for interpreting HRV patterns and for implementing techniques that promote cardiovascular and emotional regulation through deliberate modulation of the autonomic nervous system. Autonomic balance. Autonomic balance refers to the dynamic interplay between the sympathetic nervous system, SNS, and the parasympathetic nervous system, PNS, both of which regulate cardiovascular, respiratory, and digestive function. In a healthy resting state, parasympathetic control predominates, especially in younger individuals, with the vagus nerve exerting continuous inhibitory effects on the sinoatrial, SA, node to maintain heart rate well below the intrinsic pacemaker rate. For example, while the SA node might spontaneously depolarize at 100 beats per minute, parasympathetic influence reduces resting heart rate to approximately 75 beats per minute. This vagal dominance is associated with higher heart rate variability, HRV, and greater adaptability to stressors. During physical exertion, emotional arousal, or threat perception, the sympathetic tone increases to elevate heart rate, redirect blood flow to skeletal muscles, and prepare the organism for action, a state known as allostatic engagement. In recovery or rest, the PNS resumes control, slowing heart rate, and promoting metabolic conservation and repair. This flexible switching between systems characterizes autonomic balance. However, chronic stress, illness, or aging may lead to sympathetic overactivation and reduced vagal inhibition, a state known as autonomic imbalance, which is associated with elevated heart rate, reduced heart rate variability, HRV, and increased cardiovascular risk. HRV biofeedback aims to restore autonomic balance by strengthening vagal pathways and enhancing baroreflex sensitivity. The training involves breathing at the individual's resonance frequency to increase respiratory sinus arrhythmia, RSA, and phase synchrony between cardiac and respiratory rhythms. The result is not only improved autonomic regulation, but also enhanced emotional resilience and executive functioning, reflecting the broad regulatory role of balanced autonomic inputs. Cardiac regulation by hormones and ions. In addition to neural regulation, the heart is influenced by a complex array of circulating hormones and ions that modulate rate and contractility. Epinephrine and norepinephrine, secreted by the adrenal medulla in response to sympathetic stimulation, bind to beta-1 adrenergic receptors on myocardial cells, increasing heart rate and enhancing contractile strength. These hormones amplify the effects of direct sympathetic nerve stimulation, particularly during stress or physical exertion. Thyroid hormones, such as thyroxine, T4, also exert a chronotropic, rate-increasing, and enotropic, force-increasing, effect by upregulating beta-adrenergic receptors and increasing cellular metabolic rate. In addition to hormones, ion concentrations play a critical role in cardiac electrophysiology. Elevated extracellular potassium levels depress membrane excitability and can slow the heart rate or cause arrhythmias, whereas hypokalemia can increase excitability and trigger premature beats. High extracellular calcium enhances contractility by increasing calcium influx during action potentials, while low calcium levels weaken contraction. Sodium affects the propagation of action potentials and the stability of the resting membrane potential. Renal and endocrine systems tightly regulate the balance of these ions to maintain cardiac stability. Disruptions, whether due to disease, medication, or diet, can compromise cardiac rhythm and performance. Biofeedback practitioners must be aware that clients taking medications that affect ion channels, e.g., calcium channel blockers, diuretics, or endocrine function may exhibit altered HRV profiles and responses to training. While biofeedback primarily targets neural pathways, understanding the hormonal and ionic context provides a more complete picture of cardiac regulation and highlights the importance of integrative assessments when planning interventions. Vasomotor tone. Vasomotor tone refers to the baseline level of constriction maintained in the smooth muscle of blood vessels, particularly arterioles, which is primarily controlled by the sympathetic nervous system. Sympathetic vasoconstrictor fibers, originating from thoracic and upper lumbar spinal segments, innervate vascular smooth muscle and release norepinephrine, which binds to alpha-1 adrenergic receptors, causing vasoconstriction. This maintains resting vascular resistance and blood pressure. Vasomotor tone is not static. It fluctuates in response to metabolic demand, emotional state, posture, and ambient temperature. For example, during orthostatic changes such as standing, vasomotor tone increases to prevent blood pooling in the lower extremities. Conversely, during relaxation or slow, deep breathing, vasodilation occurs, which increases blood flow to the periphery and reduces blood pressure. Local chemical signals, such as nitric oxide, hydrogen ions, adenosine, and carbon dioxide, also influence vascular tone by causing vasodilation, particularly in metabolically active tissues. This interplay of central and local control ensures adequate perfusion and thermoregulation. Vasomotor tone is essential to interpreting peripheral biofeedback signals. In temperature training, for instance, hand warming results from reduced sympathetic tone and increased nitric oxide-mediated vasodilation in the cutaneous arterioles. Similarly, blood volume pulse amplitude increases with vasodilation and decreases with vasoconstriction. Chronic elevation of vasomotor tone, associated with sympathetic dominance, contributes to the development of hypertension and vascular remodeling. HRV biofeedback can help mitigate excessive vasoconstriction by promoting parasympathetic re-engagement and reducing sympathetic outflow. Understanding vasomotor tone thus bridges vascular physiology with autonomic function, supporting clinical decision-making in psychophysiological practice. Heart rate. Heart rate, HR, refers to the number of heartbeats per minute and represents the net balance between sympathetic and parasympathetic influences on the sinoatrial node. In a healthy adult at rest, the heart rate, HR, typically ranges between 60 and 80 beats per minute, although athletes may exhibit resting rates as low as 40 due to high vagal tone. HR is a dynamic parameter that increases in response to sympathetic activation, such as during exercise, stress, or excitement, and decreases with parasympathetic dominance, particularly during sleep, relaxation, and after eating. HR is modulated on a beat-to-beat basis by respiratory cycles, respiratory sinus arrhythmia, baroreceptor feedback, and central autonomic commands. Abnormally low resting rates, less than 60 beats per minute, are termed bradycardia, while elevated rates, greater than 100 beats per minute, are classified as tachycardia. Both extremes may be physiological or pathological, depending on context. HR can also vary with age, physical conditioning, body position, hydration status, and the use of pharmacological agents. An elevated heart rate is associated with increased myocardial oxygen demand, reduced ventricular filling time, and diminished coronary perfusion, particularly during diastole. Over time, persistent tachycardia contributes to endothelial dysfunction, ventricular hypertrophy, and increased cardiovascular mortality. In HRV biofeedback, HR serves as a primary signal used to derive interbeat intervals, the foundation of HRV analysis. Monitoring HR trends during training sessions provides insight into autonomic shifts and the efficacy of training. A gradual decrease in HR over successive sessions may reflect improved vagal tone and reduced sympathetic drive. Clinicians should also interpret HR changes in conjunction with breathing patterns, blood pressure, and subjective arousal to assess overall autonomic function. Elevated HR is associated with dementia and cognitive decline. Elevated resting heart rate, RHR, particularly rates at or above 80 beats per minute, has been identified as a significant risk factor for cognitive decline and the development of dementia in older adults. Longitudinal cohort studies have demonstrated that individuals with high RHR experience a faster rate of cognitive deterioration and are more likely to develop Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia, even after adjusting for cardiovascular disease, medication use, and lifestyle factors. This association may stem from several physiological mechanisms. A high resting heart rate often reflects chronic sympathetic activation and reduced vagal tone, both of which are associated with systemic inflammation, impaired cerebral perfusion, and neurovascular damage. An accelerated heart rate may reduce the variability and efficiency of cardiac output, thereby compromising the delivery of oxygen and nutrients to brain tissues. In parallel, excessive sympathetic arousal elevates cortisol and other stress hormones, which impair hippocampal function and synaptic plasticity, critical substrates of memory and learning. Elevated RHR also correlates with other vascular risk factors such as hypertension, arterial stiffness, and endothelial dysfunction, all of which have been implicated in neurodegeneration. Biofeedback interventions that reduce RHR through parasympathetic activation may, therefore, have neuroprotective effects. By training individuals to breathe at their resonance frequency and enhance baroreflex sensitivity, HRV biofeedback may reduce cardiovascular strain and improve cerebral autoregulation. This positions HRV training not only as a tool for cardiovascular health, but also as a promising adjunct in cognitive aging interventions. Clinicians working with older adults should consider monitoring RHR and HRV as part of broader assessments of cognitive health and regulatory capacity. Elevated HR limits HRV. An elevated heart rate, HR, inherently constrains heart rate variability, HRV, by shortening the time available between successive beats for variability to occur. HRV is quantified by measuring fluctuations in interbeat intervals, specifically, the time in milliseconds between successive R spikes on an electrocardiogram. When the heart beats faster, these intervals are compressed, reducing the temporal window for autonomic inputs to modulate sinus node activity. This mechanical constraint on variability is independent of autonomic tone, but is often compounded by sympathetic dominance, which both accelerates HR and suppresses parasympathetic modulation. Elevated HR, therefore, results in a dual impairment: diminished beat-to-beat variability and reduced overall autonomic flexibility. This phenomenon is observed in stress, anxiety, physical overexertion, and many cardiovascular diseases. Conversely, slowing HR through parasympathetic activation, especially via resonance frequency breathing, lengthens interbeat intervals and expands the temporal range over which HR can oscillate. This allows for more pronounced respiratory sinus arrhythmia, RSA, and more effective baroreflex-mediated adjustments in HR. As a result, HRV biofeedback targets both components, reducing HR and amplifying variability. Clinicians should monitor not only the average HR, but also its range and the distribution of interbeat intervals during training. High baseline HR and blunted HRV are risk factors for adverse cardiovascular events, metabolic syndrome, and cognitive impairment. Lowering HR through regular practice not only increases HRV, but also improves regulatory efficiency, vagal tone, and physiological resilience. In psychophysiological practice, it is essential to emphasize that HR and HRV are not independent variables. Rather, they are intricately linked, and meaningful increases in HRV often require a concurrent reduction in resting HR. Heart rate variability, HRV. Heart rate variability, HRV, is a physiological phenomenon characterized by the variation in the time intervals between consecutive heartbeats, resulting from the complex interplay among the autonomic, cardiovascular, and respiratory systems. HRV is typically measured in milliseconds between R spikes on an ECG and analyzed through time domain, frequency domain, and nonlinear methods. Time domain indices, such as the root mean square of successive differences, the RMSSD, quantify short-term, vagally mediated changes. At the same time, frequency domain measures capture periodic oscillations across defined bands, including high frequency, parasympathetic, low frequency, baroreflex, and very low frequency components. HRV reflects the autonomic nervous system's capacity to adaptively regulate cardiac function in response to internal and external demands. High HRV indicates a robust and flexible regulatory system, associated with greater emotional resilience, metabolic efficiency, and reduced morbidity. Low HRV signifies reduced adaptability and is associated with increased stress, inflammation, and an elevated risk of disease. HRV is not random, but exhibits organized complexity and fractal-like behavior across multiple timescales. Its regulation involves feedback loops between the brainstem, nucleus tractus solitarius, vagus nerve, baroreceptors, and cortical areas such as the medial prefrontal cortex and insula. In clinical and performance settings, HRV biofeedback utilizes real-time monitoring of heart rhythms to train individuals to increase HRV, typically by breathing at their resonance frequency, about 0.1 Hz. By amplifying RSA and synchronizing respiratory and baroreflex rhythms, clients can improve autonomic control, emotion regulation, and performance outcomes. HRV is a key marker of psychophysiological health and a gateway to understanding how the nervous system integrates cognition, affect, and somatic processes. Sources of heart rate variability. The primary sources of HRV are respiratory sinus arrhythmia, RSA, and the baroreflex, both of which are entirely parasympathetically mediated. RSA refers to the natural acceleration of heart rate during inhalation and deceleration during exhalation, driven by vagal modulation of the sinoatrial node. Inhalation momentarily inhibits vagal tone, allowing HR to increase, while exhalation restores vagal inhibition, slowing the heart. This rhythmical fluctuation synchronizes with the respiratory cycle and is most prominent at rest and during slow, deep breathing. The baroreflex is a negative feedback system that helps maintain blood pressure stability. When arterial pressure rises, baroreceptors in the carotid sinus and aortic arch increase their firing rate, signaling the cardiovascular center to reduce sympathetic output and increase vagal activity, slowing the heart. When pressure falls, the reflex acts in the opposite direction, causing the heart to accelerate. These two systems operate on different timescales, RSA within each breathing cycle and the baroreflex over seconds to minutes. Still, they can be synchronized through paced breathing, particularly at the individual's resonance frequency. Other contributors to HRV include circadian rhythms, thermoregulation, body position, and metabolic demand, as well as hormonal and cortical inputs. Long-term HRV trends reflect changes in sleep patterns, dietary habits, physical activity levels, and exposure to stress. In HRV biofeedback, practitioners aim to maximize RSA and baroreflex gain by aligning respiratory and cardiovascular oscillations, producing large, coherent HR fluctuations. This enhanced synchronization promotes autonomic balance, lowers cardiovascular risk, and builds self-regulatory capacity. Understanding these sources is crucial for selecting suitable assessment protocols, accurately interpreting HRV data, and tailoring interventions. Why is heart rate variability important? Heart rate variability, HRV, serves as a biomarker of regulatory capacity, psychological resilience, and systemic health. It reflects how effectively the brain, autonomic nervous system, and cardiovascular system coordinate to meet environmental demands and maintain homeostasis. High HRV signifies an adaptive system capable of rapid recovery from stress, flexible engagement with challenges, and efficient energy use. Low HRV, by contrast, reflects reduced physiological plasticity and is associated with a broad array of medical and psychiatric conditions, including cardiovascular disease, anxiety, depression, metabolic syndrome, and inflammation. From a systems perspective, HRV captures the dynamic interactions among multiple feedback loops, including baroreflex control, respiratory rhythms, cortical-subcortical integration, and neuroendocrine regulation. It indexes how efficiently the organism allocates limited self-regulatory resources across resting, reactive, and recovery states. HRV has also been linked to executive function, social engagement, and affect regulation, likely due to its mediation by the prefrontal cortex and vagus nerve. This supports the neurovisceral integration model, which posits that HRV reflects the functional integrity of neural circuits that govern cognition and emotion. In clinical practice, HRV is a prognostic indicator for mortality following myocardial infarction, surgical outcomes, and psychiatric treatment response. In performance settings, it serves as a readiness marker and recovery metric. HRV biofeedback enables individuals to voluntarily modulate their HRV, promoting enhanced physiological regulation, mental clarity, and emotional control. For these reasons, HRV is not merely a cardiac metric, but a central indicator of biopsychosocial functioning, worthy of routine assessment in clinical, research, and self-care contexts. Heart rate variability is a marker for disease and adaptability. Heart rate variability, HRV, functions as a sensitive, non-invasive biomarker for both disease risk and adaptive capacity. A healthy heart does not beat with metronomic regularity, but fluctuates in response to internal and environmental cues. This variability is a hallmark of complex, adaptive systems, reflecting the heart's ability to rapidly switch between sympathetic and parasympathetic states in response to the context. High HRV is associated with enhanced immune function, improved metabolic flexibility, increased pain tolerance, and greater psychological resilience. Conversely, reduced HRV signals a compromised ability to maintain homeostasis and respond effectively to stressors. Prospective studies have shown that low HRV predicts cardiovascular morbidity and mortality, including arrhythmia, myocardial infarction, and sudden cardiac death. It is also associated with insulin resistance, systemic inflammation, sleep disorders, and mental health conditions such as PTSD and major depression. From a dynamical systems view, HRV embodies the principle of elasticity, the organism's ability to achieve stability through change. HRV serves as an indicator of how well the autonomic nervous system orchestrates this process. In the context of aging or chronic illness, reduced HRV reflects a collapse of interdependent regulatory networks. HRV biofeedback aims to restore adaptability by strengthening vagal tone and synchronizing oscillatory systems, such as breathing, the baroreflex, and heart rhythm. Through training, clients can enhance RSA and baroreflex efficiency, resulting in tangible improvements in emotional regulation, cognitive control, and cardiovascular function. Thus, HRV is more than a diagnostic tool. It is an operational measure of an individual's regulatory architecture and a target for personalized, systems-oriented interventions. Reduced HRV is associated with disease and loss of adaptability. Reduced heart rate variability, HRV, has been consistently linked to diminished physiological resilience and increased vulnerability to physical and psychological disease. In cardiovascular medicine, low HRV is a strong independent predictor of adverse outcomes, including arrhythmias, heart failure, and sudden cardiac death. For instance, patients with post-myocardial infarction depression exhibit lower HRV and higher mortality than their non-depressed counterparts, suggesting that affective dysregulation and autonomic dysfunction are mutually reinforcing. In psychiatry, low HRV is associated with anxiety disorders, panic disorder, generalized anxiety, and major depressive disorder, where it reflects diminished prefrontal inhibition of limbic activity and chronic sympathetic arousal. Low HRV also characterizes chronic inflammatory conditions, including rheumatoid arthritis and asthma, where vagal withdrawal contributes to immune dysregulation. Moreover, low HRV is found in conditions with neuroautonomic instability, such as irritable bowel syndrome, fibromyalgia, and postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. In neonatology, reductions in fetal HRV signal distress precede adverse outcomes. Mechanistically, reduced HRV implies a breakdown in feedback loops between the central autonomic network, the vagus nerve, and peripheral effectors. It represents a shift from coordinated, phase-synchronous oscillations to rigid, non-complex dynamics, a sign of declining allostatic capacity. HRV biofeedback provides a means of restoring this capacity by teaching clients to re-establish vagal dominance, enhance baroreflex gain, and increase respiratory cardiac synchrony. These effects translate into improved regulation across multiple physiological systems. Thus, assessing and addressing reduced HRV is crucial for the early identification of regulatory dysfunction, preventing disease progression, and supporting systemic recovery in both medical and behavioral healthcare settings. Heart-brain interactions. The heart and brain communicate bidirectionally through complex neural, endocrine, and electrical pathways, forming what researchers refer to as the heart-brain axis. This communication is mediated largely through the autonomic nervous system, particularly the vagus nerve, which conveys afferent signals from the heart to the brain and efferent regulatory commands from the brain to the heart. Remarkably, 80 to 90% of vagus fibers are afferent, meaning that the heart sends more information to the brain than it receives. These afferent signals influence areas of the central autonomic network, CAN, including the nucleus tractus solitarius, the amygdala, the insula, the anterior cingulate cortex, and the ventromedial prefrontal cortex. This network integrates cardiovascular, emotional, and cognitive information to coordinate behavior and maintain homeostasis. When HRV is high, afferent cardiac signals support greater functional connectivity within the CAN, enhancing emotion regulation, attentional control, and stress resilience. When HRV is low, cortical-subcortical disintegration may contribute to anxiety, rumination, and diminished cognitive flexibility. Evidence also supports the existence of an intrinsic cardiac nervous system, known as the little brain of the heart, which can regulate pacemaker activity and reflex arcs independently of central commands. Electrophysiological studies show that cardiac afferents can modulate event-related potentials in the brain, with implications for perception, motivation, and emotional reactivity. HRV biofeedback trains clients to amplify vagal input and entrain coherent oscillations across the heart, respiration, and brain. In doing so, it stabilizes feedback loops between cardiac output and cortical regulation. Understanding these heart-brain dynamics is essential for designing interventions that target both physiological and psychological dimensions of self-regulation. Practical takeaways for cardiovascular monitoring. Effective cardiovascular monitoring in clinical and biofeedback contexts requires a deep understanding of the signals, mechanisms, and individual differences that shape cardiac and vascular function. First, clinicians should evaluate ECG morphology before beginning HRV biofeedback to rule out arrhythmias, prolonged QT intervals, or ischemic patterns. Accurate sensor placement, appropriate signal filtering, and awareness of movement artifacts are essential for reliable data acquisition. Second, practitioners should recognize that elevated heart rate limits HRV and that meaningful improvements often require concurrent slowing of respiration and HR. Third, understanding the interplay between sympathetic and parasympathetic influences, especially how breathing, posture, and mental effort modulate them, enables clinicians to interpret peripheral measures such as temperature, BVP, and PWV in context. Fourth, training clients to breathe at their resonance frequency typically enhances baroreflex gain and respiratory sinus arrhythmia, producing large low-frequency HRV oscillations that signify autonomic optimization. Fifth, HRV should not be interpreted in isolation. It reflects systemic integration across cardiovascular, neuroendocrine, and emotional domains. Finally, individual differences in age, medication use, and clinical diagnosis influence HRV baselines and responsiveness to intervention, underscoring the importance of personalized protocols. A thorough understanding of cardiovascular anatomy, electrophysiology, and autonomic regulation enables practitioners to utilize biofeedback not only as a tool for symptom reduction, but also as a strategy to enhance resilience, performance, and whole system coherence. Conclusion. This essay has traced the intricate structure and dynamic regulation of the cardiovascular system, emphasizing its relevance for psychophysiological assessment and biofeedback training. From the anatomy of arteries and capillaries to the rhythmic pulse of the cardiac cycle, we have shown how the heart and blood vessels respond to neural commands, hormonal cues, and environmental demands. The synchronization of respiration, baroreflex activity, and heart rate, captured through HRV, offers a window into the body's adaptive capacity. We have established HRV as a biomarker of systemic regulation, emotional flexibility, and health risk, with reduced variability associated with disease vulnerability and increased variability linked to resilience. The integration of cardiovascular signals with cortical regulation through the central autonomic network illustrates the depth of heart-brain communication. HRV biofeedback stands out as a powerful method for restoring autonomic balance, enhancing baroreflex efficiency, and optimizing the oscillatory networks that govern self-regulation. By combining physiological insight with applied training, clinicians can leverage cardiovascular monitoring to assess dysfunction and facilitate profound shifts in regulation, awareness, and performance. The heart is not merely a pump. It is a central actor in the complex play of adaptation, coherence, and health.